Today we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent. Every year on the first Sunday of Advent, our gospel reading might take us a little bit by surprise. Often we just think of Advent as a preparation for Christmas, and it is this, a special season that helps us to prepare to remember Christ's birth at Christmas. Why is the preparation necessary? Well, it's so that we'll be opened up to receive so much grace at Christmas and during the Christmas season. But our gospel today reminds us that Advent is not only preparation to celebrate our remembrance of the first coming of Jesus at Christmas, but it's also a time of preparation for the second coming of Jesus at the Last Judgment. Now, we might not live long enough to see the second coming of Christ, but even if we don't, we still will meet Christ at our death. So either way, our gospel reminds us of the need to be ready and vigilant for the Lord's coming. And St. Paul tells us that the Lord will come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So at any time. I'd like to zoom in on our gospel reading today. So if you were distracted as the gospel was being proclaimed, which is okay, it'd be good to go back and read it. It's quite intense words from Jesus this morning. He talks about there being signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on the earth, nations will be in dismay. So he uses a lot of intense imagery here. And this is an example of what we would call apocalyptic literature. It's literature from the scriptures. And there's a lot of it in the Old Testament especially. But Revelation is an example of it as well. And a lot of Jesus' words in the gospel too are apocalyptic. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that the scriptures are and Jesus are talking about mysterious realities, usually referring to the final judgment or the end of the world. And Jesus, in these words today, where he's talking about the signs and the sun and the moon and the stars, certainly talking about the signs that will precede the second coming. But I think an important question for us to ask is this all that this literature is? Or is this all that Jesus' words are? Words about the future? A future that you or I might not even see because we'll be long dead by then. We have no idea. But if it's just about something that occurs in the distant future, the second coming or the last judgment, then what good are these words for us at all? They aren't going to matter for us because we're not going to see the things that are going to happen. But what's interesting is that Jesus makes it very clear that the words that he's saying are for his listeners. And he said these words 2,000 years ago, or roughly. So he says, "That day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent." So Jesus seems to be saying that these words are not just about the future, but that every believer is going to experience what is described here in these words. And this is why the church gives us this gospel as the first Sunday of Advent, because these words are also meant for us. They're not just meant for a distant a population sometime in the future who will actually experience the second coming. But each one of us is going to experience this. So how is this possible? Well, Jesus says that there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. and on earth nations will be in dismay. So it's good for us to imagine what these words would have meant to Jesus's listeners in the ancient world. So what are the sun, the moon, and the stars? Well, they're fixed points in the universe. They're the things that we can count on. Ancient travelers who, before they had a compass, had the North Star. And so that would guide them in their travels. The nations, Jesus says, on earth nations will be in dismay. Well, what are the nations? Well, to ancient peoples, the earthly nations are the things that are most real and most established. And what does Jesus say is going to happen to these stable points in the Eucharist, or in the universe, not the Eucharist, the universe, these things that orientate us and provide us direction and stability in our life, like the sun, the moon, and the stars, the nations, these fixed things? Well, Jesus tells us that these powers of the heavens will be shaken, and people will be so fearful of the powers of the heavens being shaken that some will die in fear. So it's interesting. One other thing that Jesus mentions, another symbol, is the sea and the waves. So the sea and the waves are different for the ancient persons than the sun and the moon and the stars. The sun and the moon and the stars are fixed things that provide stability. They're always there. We can count on the sun's rising. But the sea and the waves are a little bit different. The sea represented like the one thing that people weren't sure of. The tides would come and go once in a while. There would be a tidal wave and it would destroy lots of things, and people would sail on the sea and their boat would capsize. So the sea was something thought to be chaotic and fearful. So we have these different symbols that Jesus is using, the symbols of the things that are stable in our world and the thing that's very unstable and chaotic. And what does Jesus say? Well, all are going to be thrown into confusion. So the sun and the moon are going to have signs and move around and be destabilized. And there's going to be the roaring of the sea and the waves, so that chaos is going to take over. So Jesus is speaking about a world being turned upside down. And everything stable in the world has become destabilized. And so what does he invite his followers to do as they experience the world being turned upside down? He commands them, do not be frightened, but rather stand up straight and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. So in other words, the world turns upside down, but in the midst of that tribulation, to be confident that Jesus is coming. Jesus himself is on his way. So, brothers and sisters, what about our own lives? Maybe you can see now where we can begin to apply what's being said to our own life. Does it not sometimes feel like our own personal life, our own world, is turning upside down? That the stable points of our life have become upset and destabilized? Things and people in whom we had put our trust suddenly change or disappear. So we can experience this in many different ways. We might lose a loved one or a friendship. We might have to move to a different place, so we feel like we've become unmoored. Those things that were sources of comfort and stability in our life before are now gone, and we find our lives turned upside down. Maybe we've lost our job, or maybe we've lost an institution that was very important in our life, providing us stability. Maybe a friend or a family member betrays us, or someone we thought we knew does something that makes us question whether we knew them at all. Many different things can happen in our life that makes us feel like our world is being turned upside down. So to us, remember Jesus says, the tribulations are imminent, and that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. So we're going to experience this in our life. The sense that our world is being turned upside down. The things that we thought were stable have become destabilized. We find ourselves unmoored. So how does Jesus want us to respond as his followers? What's his invitation? His command to us? Not to be frightened, but rather to stand up straight and raise our heads because our redemption is now at hand. Jesus says, they who experience these signs, frightening signs, will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That for those who are watchful and vigilant, Jesus is coming. And he comes in power and glory on a cloud up in the sky, not literally up in the sky, but in a way that he himself becomes the fixed point in the world, in our universe. There's many different things in our life that we come to rely on. Jesus wants us more and more to make him the sole source of stability in our life. And so it's actually part of his plan that the things in our life to which we have become so accustomed, so attached, the things in our life to which we've relied on so much, it's actually his will that these things break apart and fall down. But the invitation is always not to be fearful, but to be watchful. Where is Jesus? Jesus is coming in power and glory in the clouds to become that fixed and stable point in our life, the only one in whom we can and should put our trust. A few years ago, I was traveling. I was maybe in Atlanta or something. It was somewhere in the South because the person I was talking to had a wonderful Southern accent. And so I went to the In-N-Out burger shop to get a burger. And the very nice man behind the counter said in a wonderful Southern accent, he said, "How you doing today, man?" And I said, I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?" I wasn't really accustomed as a Northerner to such friendliness and interest in my life. So I said, "Well, I'm doing fine, how are you?" And he looked at me and he said, "Man, I'm so blessed." And I've never forgotten that. And I often wonder what was going on in his life. And I wonder if he was experiencing a lot of blessing and joy in his life, which is very possible. But I also wonder if he was able to see his whole life as a blessing from God. Everything that happened to him. The things that seemed very good and even the things that seemed very bad. Maybe his world at that moment was being turned upside down. But maybe he had such confidence in God that he was able to interpret everything that was going on in his life as God's blessing for him. That's the invitation of this gospel. When our world is turned upside down, and it will be, and it will happen again, it has happened, it will happen again, are we able to be watchful for Jesus? So our example for this bringing this back down now to Advent as preparation for Christmas, our example of this is really the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let's think about what happened in her life. A young woman from an unimportant town to unimportant poor parents receives this message, and her whole life is going to be turned upside down. And what does Mary say? Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me as you have said. In other words, Mary did not allow herself to be frightened by her world being turned upside down. But instead, she's watchful, looking for the Lord. So she's our model. The different ways that we ourselves experience this shaking of the heavens in our own life, the roaring of the sea and the waves. Let's ask the Lord today for the faith and the confidence that we need to be watchful and vigilant. For if we are, we will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory.